Everybody, with a special welcome to Anna Maria, Carly, and Mary Kay. So great to see you here live. Special welcome, of course, to everybody listening to the recording afterwards. This is our Love Your Life Stage 3, Getting It Out There, Build Your Story Success Path call. For many of you, this is a sneak preview about what's coming up in Stage 3, but there may be pieces of it that will inform what you're doing now. So that's why I want to give this to you now. And some of you are doing and have been doing Stage 3 work for a while. So this is our part two. So if you're listening to the recording, go back and listen to part one before you listen to this. And we're going to start with Shavasana. So I suggest you go with camera off just for a couple of minutes so that we can gather ourselves and find that centered, quiet energy from which we learn, from which we grow, from which we take our actions. So you can do a seated meditation or Shavasana. We're just going to spend a couple minutes today in this centering activity. So softly close your eyes, lying down or sitting up. If you're seated, have both your feet on the floor. I'm adjusting my own seating position so that's so that you feel grounded. If you're lying on the ground, on the floor, on the carpet, just let the whole body release to the earth. Just let go in every fiber, in every cell, with your thoughts. Just release and let go to the pull of gravity, to the releasing toward the earth, into the quietness of this moment. Let the heart center be open. Feel ease and openness in the heart center. Feel the breath. Letting go of any thoughts that come up. As soon as you notice they're arising, just let them go. They just don't matter right now at all. Because your focus is being here with this breath, here and now. Feel the breath. No effort to breathe. As we just be still for a few moments together. That effortlessness arises where we can notice we're not really breathing. We're simply being breathed by the universe. Witness the breath. Be the breath. Notice that just a single breath can shift the energy, can shift this moment, can shift your day and your world, this breath. Just being. No effort. And then coming out of Shavasana, in your own time, you know what to do. Move through mindfully, coming back to our sacred circle, quietly, gently, camera on whenever possible as you return. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'd love to hear a couple of words or just a phrase, something from each one of you, what you loved in this practice today. It's our focused attention is like a muscle that we work. That's where I focus. That's where I focused with what I love, with what I love. Just leap in as you choose. Carly.
I just haven't really noticed that much before when you say open your heart. And today I really, I noticed that. I felt that.
Beautiful.
Like Carly, I was feeling openness and togetherness.
Beautiful.
No, I loved that I didn't want it to end.
Love it. That's a great state of Shavasana. And then the practice too. Didn't want it to end. Then I let it go. All right. There's so many ways that we practice when we do Shavasana. Beautiful. All right. One or two or three wins. We have time to hear from each of you here live today. Just a sentence or two, something you want to share. It's very powerful to have your wins witnessed. Who would like to share first?
Well, I'm excited about the strategy call. I'm excited to talk to this person, however it develops. It's the older woman that I spoke about earlier.
Fantastic. Yes, because on the Q&A call, we were talking about her. So, and that you let us know before the recording, you need to leave early. Now, that's a good reason to leave the call early for a strategy session. That's a fantastic reason. So, you know, we'll be thinking about you and sending you and her love and blessings, you know, for whatever happens. Yes, however it happens. And the deep service that strategy sessions are so wonderful. Thank you. Other wins? Yeah, Carly.
I'm just really excited for preparing that proposal for the high rise.
Yes. And I can't wait to dive in further with you about that. So exciting. And, I love this moving sidewalk that we're on in this community, just truly exceptional, beautiful things that become our everyday world and not everyday, like commonplace, like take them for granted, but just what a beautiful world to be in, what a beautiful community to be in. I love, love, love hearing this. Thank you. Beautiful, Carly. Anna Maria.
I was reflecting that on this time of my life, really the expanding my capacity of letting go.
Mm-hmm. Letting go is huge. It's huge when we're writing a proposal. It's huge when we're doing a strategy session. It's huge in everything that we do. And I was thinking about that too with this call, because when I first arrived, I was the first one here. And so it's like, oh, might've let go of this class. And then three of you appeared, right? So we could have rebooked it, letting go in our training, letting go in what happens in our lives, letting go of our expectations, but having a clear vision of where we're headed, but then also not holding it with a tight fist, because then it doesn't have the possibility to grow, or the universe doesn't have the chance to surprise and delight us with this or something better. So I love that. Thank you. All right, a couple of announcements, and then we're going to dive in with the content for today. And just a reminder that tomorrow, October 21st, is the deadline for you to register for your VIP ticket for Story for Them. So please register. It's in your inbox. So we're selling the VIP tickets right now, but for you guys, there's a $97 no-show deposit so that we can send you the our VIP experience box. It is filled with all kinds of goodies. It's meant to be used at the event. So we don't want to waste resources. We want to know for sure that you're coming, and then you get to come as a VIP. And it's been months in the making. I'm so excited about this beautiful, beautiful box and the experience that it will engender for you. So please do that. And we need that lead time so that we can send you the box in time for Story Freedom, right? So a reminder, that's tomorrow. And then also each of you, it's at storyfreedomlive.com/special VIP. So it's in your inbox. I'm not going to put it in the chat for you right now. It's in your inbox. If for some reason you can't find it, you know that our best communication place is Slack. And others can send that to you as well, but it's just storyfreedomlab.com/special VIP. Make sure you add the /special VIP. Otherwise you'll get to the place where it's the sales, where we're selling it. All right. So it's $97 and we return that to you when you come, when you attend the event. So it's a no-show deposit. Like it's like a no-show deposit. Also, for each of you, we've given you one guest ticket, one VIP guest ticket. So they can come in the same capacity that you come. You can send them to that same page. And I know, Carly, I've probably been talking to you the most about, oh man, who do I want to come? Like, who do I most want to come? So as you're registering your own ticket, reach out to that person that you would like to have in the room. You know, I was just saying before the call, before the recordings, like we have the most phenomenal community. And, you know, Carly, you've been around a long time, you know, and, you know, amazing, amazing people that we've had all throughout in this community. But the community that we have right now, and the amazingness of connections among you and the work that you're doing right now is just off the charts in my books, just off the charts. I truly love and adore each one of you. And I would love to meet that person that you are connected with that you know could benefit from Story Freedom. I would love to meet who that person is. And it's win-win-wins, win for us, win for you guys to have that person along the journey, win for them to have access to these 3 days for the just the no-show deposit doesn't cover the costs of the box. So we would love to have them there. So same thing, storyfreedomlab.com/special VIP. And if you're not sure if there's somebody that that should be there or not, feel free to ask me, because I was just talking to the team about this morning. We don't want the wrong person in the room. It's just as important to not have the wrong person in the room. So if you're not sure, happy to hold the space. And if we don't think that that's the right person, like, don't have them come, right? If you're not sure, you can ask them about ask us about it. Then, so that's about Story Freedom. The other announcement is about this Tuesday. I hope you're keeping track always on the calendar, and just keep those Thursday dates open, because that's often when we have live trainings. So we're not always posting it. We're not posting it as early as we used to in the prior version of this community, because we're listening and we're seeing what's on campus, and we're helping you the best we can in the moment with what we think you guys collectively need. But just keep that Thursday open, because that's when it's usually going to be. Sometimes occasionally we also have them on Tuesdays. This one's been on the books for a long time, and I'm so excited because I've been wanting to do this for years on this campus, and finally Amy is going to be teaching and training you. Amy is amazing. Amy is so much of what happens in this company happens because of Amy's quiet genius. She is so gifted. She is so talented. She is so knowledgeable about online resources, online marketing strategy, and so much more. I make a lot of decisions because Amy says yay or nay in ways that are behind the scenes. And you're finally going to get to meet her in that capacity in ways that we've never done on this campus before. And what she's going to be teaching and training about is, what online resources do you need to make strategy sessions easy? So, for example, how do you easily create the what you need online? What are the pieces that you need to create your free gift or strategy session surveys or opt-in pages, email sequences, sessions for, you know, how do you book the sessions for your strategy session and so on? Easy ways to do this yourself, or you could hire somebody on Fiverr, or if you've got somebody who already does that for you. Amy's the best of the best. And so there's also going to be time to ask her questions and about online marketing resources for your business. So you can easily book those strategy sessions, make offers, enroll your ideal clients in that $5,000 or up program or service right away. So I hope you will not miss that call and that chance to ask her questions. It's a first of a first. I was just talking to her about it at length in a team meeting this morning, and I cannot wait for you to tap into Amy's genius. So come with your questions. Come with the most that you've already built. And I asked her to focus around all the things that you need for strategy sessions. There's so much more. She's organized some of the best challenges in the business and you know, TELUS summits and so much else, like she's done for this company and for many others in the past. But I wanted her to focus on what's the most important for you right here, right now. And then you can come with other questions as well. Any questions about that making sense? Yeah. So, and then of course, do not, next week is our implementation week. Do not forget to tap into Marie's amazing genius, right? And all that information, of course, is always in your inbox. Any questions about announcements? All clear? All right. So what I want to do today, just a quick rundown of the places that we're going to be hitting. Just, I want to quickly review what we did a week ago. You'll need to go, I'm not going to redo what we did last time, but just a reminder of where we were in our getting it out there call last week. I want to give you three examples that we did. I want to go deeper dive into three examples of leveraging and scaling some of that stage three work. When to do this, because my biggest thing is for many of you, don't do this, but know that it's going to be later. But there are pieces that maybe you want to implement now. And then what comes before this, you know, so strategy sessions and sales, what you need to already be doing for this to be effective to you. And a lot of companies get stalled by doing these kinds of activities too soon. I want to talk a little bit about team building because that's part of leveraging and scaling. And then answer, if there's time, I doubt there will be today, but any questions that you might have, but there's lots of opportunities to ask follow-up questions, office hours with Marie. You'll have online questions with Amy. And then of course, in the work we do together and at Story Freedom coming up soon. Okay. And then of course, ahas and actions. So any questions or confusions about the agenda itself? Lots that I want to share with you today. All good? All right. Just a brief review from last time. So again, I want to teach you some of the foundations, the strategies, the ways of thinking that underlie stage three. And this is a great time to be doing this because we just, in this company, ran the challenge. This is a stage three activity. And then we're coming into Story Freedom, another stage three activity. So it's kind of a nice season to be doing this. And the more you're participating in those two, the more you'll get a chance to hear and ask questions about some of the behind the scenes that are happening in events like this. And even what our aims are, with the challenge, we doubled what our aim was, right? What is the aim? What are we even trying to do when we do that, right? And we were overjoyed. We doubled what our aims were for the challenge. And so, preview for some of you just about stage three. And for those doing some stage three work, a bit of a roadmap for scaling your company. Just a quick review about the difference between growth and scaling or leveraging. Does anybody remember, or do you know what the difference is? Because I certainly didn't know for many years into my company. I wish I'd understood. I love that pause. So let me remind you, right? So growth. When you grow a company, the way that we're using the terms here, you just kind of keep doing the same things and you would just add numbers. So maybe I had 10 private clients a month. You could use whatever numbers you have. And then you have 20, and then you have 30, and then you have 40. And then if you continue to grow, what happens? You burn out. So growth has a ceiling. I just keep doing the very same things and I have a ceiling. So at a certain point, it's really important that we move from growth to scaling and leveraging. And what that point is, ask me questions and don't do it too early because we actually, you know, backfire, right? But scaling means setting the stage to enable and support a kind of a different level of growth of the company. It means the ability to grow without being hampered. So when I first started my company, I was doing my own website stuff in code behind the scenes. I don't know coding. If I made a mistake, it destroyed the website. I should not have been doing that. I was trying to grow and continuing to do all the things that I had been doing before. And I was doing my bookkeeping and I was doing all that stuff, right? When we scale and leverage, we leverage the abilities of others as we grow our team. So it's like we can multiply ourselves so we don't hit a ceiling in terms of the 24 hours a day that we have, because we can leverage the abilities and resources of other people on our team. We can scale by going from one-to-one to one-to-many. So a strategy session is one-to-one, very strategic to do for a long, long time in a company. And it continues, it doesn't stop, right? And then we can have somebody else doing that. So then there isn't a ceiling because it's not just I'm one person. We could have 10 people doing that for ourselves. So we eliminate that growth ceiling. Or we can do it differently. We can change from one-to-one to one-to-many when we have an event, for instance. So then instead of making an offer to one person in a one-on-one conversation, we're having a one-to-many conversation. So, and I gave a bunch of tips last time. I'm not going to teach those, but just a brief overview for those that were there. I gave you 8 tips for grow for scaling your company. Write things at the right time in the right order. We did a deep dive in that. What growth and scaling even is and why you would want to do it and where to scale and leverage some, a whole bunch of examples of different places where we could do it, what the low hanging fruit is, where we want to turn to first, how important it is to do it and iterate. So this is a review. I'm not teaching this, but review that we want to do it and iterate. And I gave a great example from our recent challenge of something that seemed like a good thing to do. And then we made a change partway through. You iterate and you adjust the dials on it. And we had massively more success when we changed something. And it was super counterintuitive. I talked about what that was last time. So do it and iterate. Scaling requires understanding our own structures and systems. If I have a one-on-one conversation and strategy session, maybe out of facility with words or somebody just happens to want to leap in already, it just happens. But we have to know why at a deeper and deeper level, why that's happening and how to do it. So that we can do it one to many. And just a quick hint, those things that we're saying on the one-to-one, we keep saying, have I said this part yet? You know? Oh, and we start repeating ourselves to this person and to that person, to that person. We start realizing that's part of our system and we can move from one to one to one to many. And then a reminder, the 8th point was that what's the strategic move? Often people, without learning about growth versus scaling and leveraging, they just start throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing if it's going to stick. I think now I will do a podcast because people think it's a good thing to do. I think now I'm going to like these various activities. I'm going to do Facebook ads. I'm going to do LinkedIn roundtables. There's this new social media venue. I'm going to hire somebody to do my social media, but I'm not sure what the aim is. Or I'm going to speak, but I'm not sure where I'm supposed to speak. Like it's like throwing spaghetti at a wall. And that is not at all what we want to be doing. And again, that's why we've created these stages for you to really see it. And it's not about spaghetti. It's what's the strategic move? What's the thing that is the next thing for my company that will allow me to scale, that will allow me to leverage at the right time? Is it even the time for that? Or is it the time for deep, deep dive stage one and stage two work? And the stages allow us to see that more clearly. First stage one, then stage two. If we haven't done that, don't be scaling, right? We want to have a system that works first. Any questions about that? I know that it's a whirlwind tour, but I just wanted to remind you where we were last week. That's not a training, it's just a reminder. Anything that you feel really confused about in that? And again, you can go back to last week's call for the details, but is that kind of sort of making sense? The difference between growth and leveraging and scaling. Yeah, nods around the room. Thank you. All right. So you're able to, I know that's lots of pouring in. Have a great strategy session, Mary Kay. Have fun. We'll see you next time. any questions for clarity? Like, I'm not sure about this and your mind will get stuck there. Or can I go forward with the next piece of training? Good to go forward? Yep. Okay. I'm seeing nods. Good. All right. So I wanted to give you 3 examples and do a little deeper dive into them because each way that we leverage or scale has its own advantages and reasons that we do it and its own benefits, right? So the 3 examples I wanted to give you, and they come at different stages and in different ways, and you might leverage in different ways than these. And again, when we get to the deep dive stage 3 work, as you complete and check off the stage 1 and stage 2 documents, and we move clearly into stage 3, we can design for you what those activities should be. But just so you know what's coming, you can be thinking about it, you can be dreaming about it, and some of these pieces, Carly and Anna Marie, you're already doing some of these pieces, right? So that you can do them with more consciousness. Those listening to afterwards to the recording as well. So you know more about them. So the 3 examples I wanted to give: speaking, coaching, group coaching, and events. All right. So the speaking, we'll put it like this and says speaking, group delivery, let me say it differently. Speaking, which I'm gonna call group lead collection. Let me say to you the way it is here in front of me in my notes. Speaking, which is group lead collection. Coaching, which is group delivery. And events, which are group sales. each time we're moving from one to one to one to many in a very particular way. And I just so you start to have a mind to, well, how does this scaling and leveraging work? So speaking, I like to think of it, as I say, as group lead collection, or sometimes it's group low ticket sales. So here in stage two, we go directly to high ticket sales. A lot of companies fail because they spend way too much time building the low ticket. And that's way too hard. Start with high ticket, right? And speaking, we can either do as a group low ticket sales. So make a $1,000 offer, for instance, in front of an audience. And everyone in every field has the possibility to do this. Is it strategic or not? That's a conversation, but everybody can do this, right? And then it might be group lead collection. So instead of selling low ticket, and I really recommend this, instead you give something for free when you speak. Then they're on your list. And this is such a better strategy as far as I'm concerned than low ticket sales. Let's say you're speaking in front of an audience of 100 people and you make a sale, and you know, maybe you've done well, you've sold 15% or 20% or 25% of the room. These are really good numbers, 30% of the room, whatever it is. It means all those other people, you know, maybe it's 5%, maybe it didn't go quite the way you wanted it to, and it turned out lower. All those other people in the room didn't say yes, and now you've lost track of them. You have no way to stay in touch with them. When you give them something instead, you give them your free gift, now you're in a conversation, you're in a relationship with them, they're on your list, and now you can, then you could offer low ticket sales if that's what you wanted to do. Then you can decide, be, you know, strategic, maybe you take them to strategy sessions, and that's probably what I would recommend, and a one-on-one sale and so on, right? So speaking, the best way I like to think of it is group lead collection. I'm starting, that's business language, in the language of heart-centered, you know, words. I'm starting a relationship with a human being that I could actually serve. And I've just been introduced to them. It's just an introduction. So I say, hey, do you want to stay in touch? And the way we do that is through a free gift, for example. So a couple benefits of speaking, why this works, you know, it's kind of like the next move from networking. I'm just meeting people in the room. When I'm speaking, I'm the person at the center in the room, in a sense, right? And so it gives me authority. It gives me credibility. It gives you credibility. It has you outlining your, what are your key points? What are the pain points of your ideal client? What's the transformation you offer? As you're constructing your talk, you got to figure those things out. So it's great for figuring out what your message is and being comfortable making offers to people. Gets you in front of your ideal clients, makes you think, where are they even hanging out? So these are some of the great benefits of speaking. And you can think outside the box. I'm thinking for you, Anna Maria, for instance, you know, is there some way that you can speak at some kind of horse show or event? And maybe that's not the only place to do it. Sometimes we think, oh, it's just that, because that's the way people in our industry are doing it. And then I was thinking, well, what if you spoke at the opening of a fabulous film, like a new box office like winner about horses? You know, who might be in that audience? Horse lovers, you know what I mean? So I mean, just offhand, you know, or I was thinking about Diane with Reiki. So, you know, it could be somewhere where people are gathered in and around energy healing, but it might be at, you know, because she works with kids, might be at schools. It might be organic grocery stores. It might be yoga studios where people who are attuned to, you know, energy may be hanging out. And then depending on who your ideal client is, like for you, Anna Maria, you know, what is it? That's the knowing your ideal client. What do they love? Iyengar yogis, I don't know why it is, but they all seem to like, a disproportionate number of them seem to love, at least the ones that I've seen in large gatherings of Iyengar yogis, wine and dark chocolate, you know? So if I were trying to do something around Iyengar yoga, maybe what if I went to a chocolate thing? And what if it was a chocolate and health and movement thing? Has nothing ostensibly to do with yoga, but I might find a bunch of my people there, right? If that's what I was doing, right? And thinking outside the box. So, you know, Carly, where do people who want design and are, you know, where are they hanging out? Where is it that you could meet them? Where is it that you could be in front of them? And are they at, and maybe it's not the people themselves, right? Who are designing the house. Maybe it's the contractors. Maybe it's you want to be in front of some of the vendors who are associated with that, right? And then when you're in front of them, they become your referral partners, right? So where are, actually, I'm thinking about you and Jonathan. Where are the people who do architectural lighting hanging out? Well, all those people need an architect, you know, right?
Where it's the same circles. Yes, right, really, right. They overlap. Yeah.
Of course. But you know, then when because I'm thinking about lighting now, so because sometimes that's that same thing, like Anna Maria thinking that she's going to a horse show versus a horse movie, you know, I could open up all kinds of things, right? Thinking outside the box in terms of speaking, you might go directly there. Maybe Anna Maria doesn't want to talk about horse show, but maybe there's other places too. And for you as well, like lighting. And I don't know, but you know, and when you think about it and when we dive in further, lighting stores, people are lighting their houses. And so again, I think about Jonathan's work for this, right? So, you know, lighting stores, but anybody who's hanging around lighting stores or hanging around, you know, I don't know what, like, let's say it's a home, you know, a bathroom, like high-end bathroom, you know, supply stores that have beautiful, what do you call it? Like, not accessories, what's the fixtures and so on. Like, why are people even there? Why are they browsing in that store? Well, because they're thinking of remodeling something. So maybe they're, and there's other pieces of it. Where are people hanging out when they're thinking about, you know, knocking down what's already there and then building something? Where do those people hang out, right? So, and then, you know, if it's a high rise, well, I don't think that this is the route through, but it might be like thinking outside the box, like the people who are looking to live in a high rise, I don't think it's this, but you know, it's like, but they, who are they meeting? What, maybe they're going to all these different, I don't know. I'm just like, don't reject ideas offhand and think about where could they be that might be outside the box. And so speaking and the fact that thinking about, well, where do I want to speak makes you think about, this is the illustrative point where your ideal clients may be hanging out. Itself tells you more about who your ideal clients are. So even the thought of speaking helps you start seeing at a more nuanced level, where your, you know, who your clients are and what they need. And I don't know. And again, it's not what you're designing right now, Carly, but same, like if you're designing schools, the teachers know exactly what's wrong, you know, and may lead you to a connection to somebody who would introduce you to, you know, so speaking in front of the, if it were schools you were designing, speaking in front of the Parents Association might have just the connection that you're looking for, strangely enough, you know, so not to rule things out. So. So speaking, resources we have for it, I'll talk about when to do these things afterwards, but we have resources in our community. We're not posting a lot of stage three resources, but we have them available. I want to say this very clearly. So we have, you know, trainings on this from Stories That Sell Now, whole workshops on it, and what we used to call practical applications, and, you know, how you create your talk and recordings of detailed trainings on your talk and so on. So when you're doing that, ask us for those resources. We're happy to share those with you. And the how to do it, well, often a great way to do it is find the audience you want to speak in front of, speak, give a free gift. You need to have an opt-in page for that, some way they can opt in, and then it goes to strategy session. So just the bare bones of what it is, how to do it, and why you might want to do that. The second example, so again, that's group lead collection. Instead of networking where you're talking to one person and that one person might want to talk to you and then you go to connection call, right? At the second example where we can leverage and scale so we don't just hit that ceiling, in coaching is group delivery. And it was a great example from you last week, Carly, in this. because it's like, well, I can't see how that could happen. I'm already doing it in my company, right? So look and look again. Each of these things, when we look outside the box, is possible for us? And then is it strategic? Do we want to do it? Measure twice, cut once, come and ask me, lean in with the community, but don't out of hand reject any of these, because sometimes it's like, well, nobody does it that way in my industry. Well, great, then you're the first. And some beautiful things happen when you break something open in the industry. Hi, Marie, so great to see you here. So for instance, Anna Maria, you know, of course, my friend Karen, nobody was teaching online with horses when she started doing it. Because you can't teach online with horses, you need a horse, right? Nobody's doing that, that can't be done. Well, she did it. And now many people are doing it. Group delivery. You might go, well, but I can't deliver in a group because I'm nobody here is this, but it could be like a massage therapist. Well, what are the, you know, maybe there's something around partner massage that you could teach, right? For example, if you're a massage therapist, right? And you hold a workshop, or you have people enrolled in how to do partner massage. And then you deliver that. So maybe you're a massage therapist, but there's other things that people are seeking when you're a massage therapist, and how can you deliver it to a group? And so there's always a way to do this. If it's possible with massage therapy, which is hands-on, one-on-one, there's always a way to do it. And you can do this. If you've got two people and you're talking to them separately, you can put them together in a room, and now all of a sudden you've doubled the time available to you. So think about ways where you're just putting two people together when you're delivering something. Maybe there's that, hey, this is what I always show people. I think about you, Carly, with something about color, something about design, something about sound, something about, and again, it might be, well, but nobody does that in the industry. Well, is it strategic? I don't know yet, but know that that's accessible to you. And that the idea that you come up with over there may feed back into what you're already doing in stage one and stage two. It will have creative new ideas that are truly outstanding in your field, right? So group delivery. First example, speaking, group lead collections. Second example, coaching, group delivery. Third example, event, group sales. So all these examples of not growing, but instead scaling and leveraging. And so an event, that's group sales. Benefit to this is you get to make an offer one to many. So again, you stop that bumping into that ceiling of your time, because instead of making an offer to one person, it could be to 10 person, it could be to 1,000 people. Some of the advantages, they get to interact with each other. They learn from each other. You can have multi people at different levels together as well, and they'll learn from each other. And as with speaking and coaching, anytime we start to scale and leverage, it forces us to know our work even better. Because as soon as you're talking to more than one person at a time, you have to know your ideal clients so much more deeply. You have to know what their common issues are. You have to know how to adapt it to this person and this person so that they can both hear you on the fly. So we develop those higher level skills as we do this. And an event, I don't recommend that you do any of these early on or without checking in. It is stage three work, but you can start to do it in sometimes in smaller ways that are actually quite manageable. So the first event that I did with an offer, it was the predecessor of Story Freedom. There were two people in the room, and it was goodness. It was about 9 years ago, and with two people in the room, and I made an offer just to practice. Because I hadn't done an event. I've held lots of events, but I never made an offer at an event before 9 years ago. And I was shocked and delighted because they both said, yes, I made $13,000. And, you know, one of them had told their friend about it and three people enrolled, right? So you can do it even with two people, for example. I held a week-long retreat in Mexico for many years. And the very first year that I held it with two people. And it grew from there, right? You can think outside the box. Again, an event where you have group sales could be two people in your living room for a workshop in an afternoon that has an offer at the end, and you can adapt to these things. So again, Carly, I'm looking at you and thinking about, well, you've done, not done in my industry, right? But it, the way that that might get adapted could be, it's like event, but it's a glass of wine with two potential clients where you're chatting about stuff in an evening. That's a, like a little mini event where each of them goes to strategy sessions because they both are going to want proposals from you and work with you. And then you go into a separate conversation. And the thing that you're offering in that event is a strategy session. So every one of these ideas is adaptable and scalable. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, we can do it in a small way. We can do it in a large way. And just don't aim to do the, I know I've said it over and over, but don't aim to do it in the big way too soon. Come and ask, and really stage one and stage two come before stage three. But when we know that we're headed to stage three, we build differently because we begin with the end in mind. So for instance, if we have, think again about Diane, one-on-one Reiki sessions until we're blue in the face and we can't, we're so exhausted and now we're trying to scale, but we don't have any room even in our, you know, like, why don't we think about scaling before we hit that ceiling and burnout, right? If we know where we're headed. True in every business, not just if we're, you know, a Reiki practitioner, for instance. All right. So that was speaking, group lead collection, coaching, group delivery, and event, group sales. When to do this? Before an event, I would say at a very minimum, come and ask first, but if you're going to do an event, minimum of that you've graduated from stage two. So $30,000 or $40,000 earned from high ticket sales before you host an event. And then even if you have, come and talk to me about it, because it might be strategic or something else might be strategic. But, and for some, you know, this might be, you know, one sale for somebody, right? This might be one part of one sale for somebody. And then like Carly, it might be that little mini event that you do that could be highly strategic. I don't know if it is or not. We could chat about it, right? So, but at least $30,000 or $40,000 earned, because we don't want to host an event and have an offer that we don't know if it works or not. It's energy to create that energy better spent one-on-one in a strategy session. When to do this for speaking. Speaking could be sooner than an event, but you have to have had a high ticket sale first. Well, let me think here. It would be really good where your energy should be spent is in those strategy sessions and those high ticket sales. Some people say, hey, do you want to come and talk in front of my you've gotten invited. I was like, no, I'm sorry. I have to make my high ticket sale first. I don't mean that. You just got invited. Go ahead. And you're collecting leads and now take them into that offer. But as soon as possible, you want to have that high ticket sale in stage two, because then you know where you're headed with them. So you want that. That's why stage right at the center of stage two, step into your big self, know that you have that, know that you can do that. And then your speaking becomes so much more effective. And what I'm trying to help you not do is what I mentioned this last week. One of my mentor's friends did was interviewed. I can't even remember where it was now, but was in front of an audience of a million, so speaking, and received zero business from it because the back end wasn't built, didn't know where she was taking people, a million people. So what's the offer first, right? And then coaching. You can start to do this once you're working with two people. And you're working with two people, and the example I gave was Carly, or you're not even working with them yet, maybe, right, for that. But let me give a different example. With coaching, you're doing private work over here with this person, private work over here with this person. And it could happen very, I think of Carly, because sometimes there might be, well, how does this apply over here? And, but you're doing this work with this person, you're doing with this work with this person. And it might come in a very offhand way. Like, hey, one of my clients was asking about X, Carly, you know, color, about sound. And we're meeting Tuesday night at such and such a place. We're just going for a glass of wine, sparkling water, I don't know, whatever you go for, right? And I was going to tell them just a little bit about color. And besides, they have a new cat and I can't wait to see their cat. Do you want to come? You know, or whatever it is, right? They can, and then you are doing that same thing. They don't experience it in that way. This is coaching 2-to-1. But now this person was asking about color. This person was asking about color. And then who knows what happens in that conversation? These two people talking together, it's like, oh yeah, Carly's amazing. And she's doing this for us. And by the way, I forgot, but as I'm meeting and talking to so-and-so, that reminds me of this other so-and-so that you should meet, because I think you should do this project for them. So I'm using Carly in this case. He was an example because some of these go, what, how do I do that? But every field, these work, right? Every field, these have applications. Any questions? So this is, I just wanted to do, last time we were doing the 8,000 foot view, we gave a bunch of different examples of ways to leverage and scale. I want to go into a deeper dive into three of them so we could see kind of when we might choose them, how they might work, how they might work in different fields and different scenarios. Any brief questions here? There's some definitely more deep dive training I want to give you, but anything where you went, oh, I'm not sure about this, or I just want to quickly ask about how this applies over here. Anything like that? All clear? And not from you, Anne-Marie? Yeah, Carly, go ahead.
I'm still kind of formulating this question, but I think part of what I've noticed in my industry is that it's good to be in touch with sort of like the middle person. Because access to the decision makers is controlled, very controlled.
Absolutely.
And so I kind of, I guess, if you have any thoughts on ideas for that part.
Yeah, well, then the operative question is, well, where are those people hanging out? What do they love? So they become, it's one yes at a time, and they become that first yes. So they're your person. And so just all the same things kick in about, you know, knowing your ideal client the way J.K. Rowling knows Harry Potter, right? Who are they? What keeps them up at night? What are they thinking about, right? And can you give us an example of one of those middle people? Like, give us a description of one of them so we have something really tangible to work with.
Like a construction manager for like a hospitality project, where they're the ones that's going and talking to like the owner of MGM, for example, and presenting on your behalf. But their interests are narrow versus the owner's interests are usually much more diverse and broad. And so making a relationship with the construction person, it's a very different relationship than what ultimately the relationship with the owner would be. So I struggle with, you know, I can connect with that construction person, but they're not necessarily interested in a lot of things that I can offer because they have their own agenda.
That makes sense. Yes, for sure. And so it's seeing through their eyes, point of view that we've studied from story, right? Seeing through their eyes and what is it that is bothering them, what's keeping them up at night. And one of my friends, a dear friend, her husband used to do, used to be a construction manager. And so I've had long conversations with him about it, not thinking about it in this context, right? But, you know, what was his life like? Well, when they're bidding for, and you would know more about this than I would, Carly, but when they're bidding for a project and then people underbid and then it costs more than that. So, and then trying to find the right people to work with them, a lot of nods from you, right? I know about it because I know my friend's husband, right? And so what is it that's keeping them up at night? And then where are they hanging out? And one of the things that he used to do, it just so happens that that's who he was. He did construct, you know, he was a construction manager, and he also worked on the search and the volunteer search and rescue team. And I know he's done other kinds of activities, like volunteered for things like that. And then one of my uncles did a lot of construction work as well, and a very different kind of level of projects than my friend's husband worked on, but thinking about like what keeps him up at night, what would engage him in the conversation, why would he care to have a conversation about you, and what would you know with you, and why would it matter? And I think about my uncle, and he's very down to earth. He's very practical. He's very like bottom line, get it done, seeing lots of nods from you, right? And, you know, where did he hang out? And I can tell you he wasn't at the opera. He's retired now, right? He was not, in my yoga class. Very practically minded. Did a lot more of just, you know, what they like to do is gather, like they had a ranch and they gathered around the fire pit and, you know, hung out and sang campfire songs. And that's much more the kind of person that, and actually when I think of both of them together, so do you see how my mind is working around this? Who are they? What do they care about? What keeps them up at night? And is there a way that if you, when you can see through their eyes, if there's these, you know, other companies, construction companies that are somehow underbidding, so that you can't, they can't even afford to make the real bid, but they don't know how to say it to that person that, you know that their field more than I do. I know from them, right? But what keeps them up at night? Where are they? And I know that when they did this, you know, sing around the campfire, a lot of other construction managers, you know, and people in that industry were there around that campfire too. So where is that campfire? And you can even talk to them. Hey, where do you spend, you know, casually, you know, or go for lunch with them. It's like, what do you like to do? Where do you hang out? And they will have the answers better than I will. And then as you, all the same things that we talk about in different parts of this community kick in. Do you know? What keeps you up at night? What, you know, what problem are you trying to solve? And as you, it might be some piece of information, something that you know that if you can save them time, if you can save them energy, if you can help them, you know, and I'm not saying that all of a sudden this becomes your project and your job, but you know things, you have access that maybe they don't have in ways that you don't think about. And you save them time on the job, you help them find out where they can hire people better, that, you know, just little things that because you're in the industry, but sitting in a slightly different place, you might know that everybody around you knows, every other, even architect knows, but they don't bother to sit and talk to that person. All of a sudden they're like, oh my God. And the other construction manager is like, you got to talk to Carly because she actually sees us as human beings. She's not just, you know, and we're not a means to an end. And she's also just, you know, she's a human being and she knows about this, and meet her. Do you know? Does that give some ideas?
It does happen. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it reminds me a little bit of my dear friend, Larry. He's an engineer and would always get amazing projects to work on. And people loved him. People promoted him. People, just amazing soul. And one of the reasons he was so outstanding in his work is the people that he worked with who were actually, you know, sometimes on assembly lines doing different things, he would actually go have conversations with them. And go, that's really cool. I don't know anything about that. How do you do? What are you doing here? What, you know, like, how does this work? Can you teach me that? They, and it was genuine. He loved them. He knew that they knew things that he didn't know. And just, he didn't even come in knowing anything. The same thing, right? But, and sometimes when you work in, it can be very hierarchical too, right? Like the construction person versus the CEO versus, you know, so somebody who actually speaks to that person as a human being. Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. All of that can go a long, long way. Carly, does it give you a few ideas? Yeah. And then follow up with other questions about it. And that's so great, is because it reviews a lot of the things about ideal client, about that person's pain, about the real conversations with real people that we have and so on. Right. And again, why stage one and stage two are so important, because if we leap over to like, it might or might not be strategic, Carly, for you to address the, you know, Construction Managers Association of America, wherever they are meeting, you know, maybe that would be strategic. Maybe going out for a beer with one of them instead is more strategic for you, you know? So it's making a choice when we can see, when we think about growth versus scaling and leveraging and stage one, stage two, stage three, we can make choices about how we use our time, right? Okay, really, really good. I see you nodding. That's fantastic. All right. So where I want to go to now, because still some things that I want to share with you, what to do before this. So I gave the examples again, and there's many examples, but speaking, coaching, and events. Group lead collection. Lead collection is just a lead from business terms. You know, it's a person who is a potential client, and we are collecting. It sounds so nuts and boltsy, you know, but it means a real live human being that we've entered into a relationship with. Maybe they're on our list now, so we can start to chat with them and in email ways and different ways, and can eventually they may be the person that we have a conversation with, that they come to do the work with us, right? So group lead collection, group delivery, group sales. When to do this? After stage one and two. After some rare exceptions, we bring some things in, right? We need to know our vision from stage one in order to get there. We don't even know where the vision is. But understanding these pieces about stage three can shift our vision. And one of my clients from years ago, she tried to create her vision, but she created a vision of growth without scaling. I can use those words with us now. She didn't know it. While she was doing this, she was just going to do 10 times the work so she could grow her company. And she kept running into a block because her body wouldn't let her. She didn't want to be working 10 times as hard. She was already working really hard. So not understanding what you understand now was keeping her from creating a vision that she loved. So what is that vision that you love? And then stage two, how do we step into that big self and actually embody it, actually have it happen? Well, I would love that someday, but I'm afraid to talk to a live human being, going out there, doing it, talking to people, making the offers, standing for it, knowing the value, knowing, yes, you want to work with this person, no, not with that person, making the choices, all of that stage two work. So we do this after stage one and two, and we want to focus in those stage one and two places on those one-to-one things that are very highly strategic for a long, long time in a company. And we don't neglect them even when we're leveraging and scaling. Networking doesn't end because we're networking and scaling. Does that make sense? We're still going to do strategic one-on-one things. We might be networking to a different end. At first, we might be networking to meet our client, a potential client. Later on, we might be networking because that person has the stage that we want to be on. Later on, it might be somebody who does the back end of events so that we can host our event. So, but the networking is the one-to-one doesn't go away. Networking, doing one-on-one work, creating your free gift. These are some of the introductory things that we do in order to grow our company and have the foundation for leveraging and scaling. So if that makes sense, just nod for me. This is all making sense. Fantastic. I wish I knew this in 2007. You guys, I really wish I did. I know it now. It took me a while to really understand what was going on. My background wasn't business. It took a long time, and understanding this can cut years off your journey. So the rest of the call, I want to kind of set you up. Anything else that we really... Oh yeah, I was going to talk about team building. Oh my goodness, I'm going to spend a few minutes on that too. All right, I want to make sure that I set you up really well for the call with Amy on Tuesday. So, and remember, you can come back. It's not once and done. You can ask questions in the Q&A calls. You can ask questions in the office hours and see how it applies to you. So I want to pull back from stage three and go back to what is the shortest route to strategy session? Because that's always what we're going to do. That's always where we want to go. And here are, and Amy's going to give you some online resources to make strategy sessions easier so you can start to leverage your time. So first, we do it with our own energy. And again, in different times in our lives, this still happens. We're still going to use our own energy just in strategic different ways. It starts out how we get to that strategy session by you yourself. So first you need to know you need to know your ideal client. Where do they hang out? Then you go networking where they are. You have a connection call with them. You book the appointment with them because you're talking to that one live human being, right? Then maybe after you've booked that call, you might have some follow-up questions that you might email them or text them. So all of this is happening through your efforts, right? Then you're going to send them a note, confirm the appointment. Hey, you're still coming tomorrow, right? You meet for the strategy session. You hold the strategy session. And if they're your ideal client, you start the work. So can you see all that can be just you? And you can grow a company to multi-millions even doing that. If you're doing consulting and you're working with people, and here's a $100,000 package, and here's a $100,000 package, it's high-level consulting. So don't think that this is just small. This can grow hugely. So it starts with yourself and your own energy. And then you can start to use online resources to use less of your energy and get the same result by some structures that Amy can help you with. So that networking, connection call to strategy session that I just outlined, and it's making sense to you, right? Next, when we start to borrow time, in a sense, by building some things online, instead of the networking to connection call and so on, it might be you have a free gift and an opt-in page. So then instead of like getting to know them as much through a connection call where they're asking you things and you're getting to know each other, they have the free gift there where they go, wow, this is some great stuff. I would love to talk to you. So you've skipped your own personal work, like or personal one-on-one time, because there's a free gift. Carly, in your field, it might be samples. It might be other projects you've done. It might be things that they want to learn about color. I don't know, but there's always, always a way to do this, right? So a free gift and an opt-in page. And then they've got the free gift. And then instead of that chatting with them that would happen, we have an email sequence. Hey, you received this. And the first email says, did you even read it? Don't forget to read it. And then and here's the link again, in case you lost the link. Then the next email might say, did you notice what I said on page 2? I want to tell you a bit more about it. Here's why this matters so much. And here's what happened to Susie. By the way, do you want to meet with me and see how it works for you? Click here to book a strategy session. So you have an email sequence that you would use your own voice and conversations with a live person to do before you're leveraging, right? The email sequence starts to allow you to be in more places at once, basically, right? So you could send that email out to many people. That sequence could happen to, you know, they get the gift and then they get that email sequence. It's not your own energy. You can have a survey before your strategy session. That's a strategic thing to do. You don't build it all at once. You can do it without any technology except Zoom or a phone call to start. But then you can have a survey. So we have a survey for our strategy sessions. We didn't have this at first. The survey is the questions you'd probably want to ask them, but it's not your own time. Now they're there because you've asked those questions over and over again. So you put it in a form and it both gives you a jump start for the call and has them starting to think about that, their pain in your area. So, you know, Anna Maria, it might be, have you ever felt right direct? Have you ever felt scared of your horse? Tell me about it. You know, the very same thing you would ask them could go in the survey. Or it's like, how long have you been? You know, those basic questions you'd want to ask them. Right. And that starts getting them to think about it, you know. And if that feels too direct for them, it might be give me an example of a time when you felt uneasy around your horse. What made you uneasy? Fitzmaurice, like exactly how long have you been wanting to write? And, you know, what have you written so far? What have you wanted to write but didn't? How come? With Carly, a survey might be
I have an idea.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell me.
What about something like, give me an example of a project that you worked on that didn't go the way that you wanted it to? Something like that?
Perfect.
Okay.
And what went wrong? And, yeah. And what would you love to see different?
Okay.
And tell me about, and website design can be a little bit like this too. It's design, right? Give me an example of 3 websites that you love. You know, there's a similar thing here too. Like give me an example of a part of a project that you've been involved in or one that you heard of that, or a building that you just love and why, or something like that, right? So the questions that you'd want to ask them, you can ask them in that survey. And then you can, instead of booking, it's like, hey, tell me what time you want to meet. You have a calendar that allows them to book automatically, right? And then you can have an email sequence that follows the booking. Instead of calling them up and saying, hey, remember we're meeting tomorrow, a reminder about the strategy session and why they're coming and how to prepare for it and confirming that they're attending. So, and all those things Amy will help you with. What are the most strategic things so you can start to... these are not huge leverage and huge scaling, but they start to use those ideas to gain you back more of your own time. Does that make sense? And what you want to be aimed at, stage 1 and stage 2, what's the vision? And stage 2, going out there and actually working with those ideal clients, and they help serve and support you, borrowing some ideas from stage 3. Does that make sense? Yeah, really good. I just want to tell you a couple things about team building. Yes, we will not have, as I suspected already, not time for questions, but we have, you know, structured in lots of places where you can ask questions. Team building. That's also a way to gain back your time, right? You replicate yourself. Like when I was doing the behind the scenes in my website, I shouldn't be doing that. Amy should be, you know? So who should your first or second or third or whoever your next team member, who should it be? Think about what you're doing that you really don't want to be doing. Get that off your plate. Think about how do you value your time? I've mentioned this a few times in the last few weeks. One of my teachers said, anything that's $100 an hour or less, outsource it. That's a really nice benchmark to think about. People collecting your garbage, people, you know, doing your dishes, people, you know, in your household too. Groceries, I have groceries delivered to my home. We don't measure, we don't value our own time that it takes to go get those groceries, for instance, right? And you know that you're valuing your time at $20 an hour or so if you're doing your housekeeping yourself. Big one for women, particularly men too, but right? So what tasks do you want off your plate so that you can be in your zone of genius? What are the things that are annoying you and draining your time and energy? And you can track your time, see where you're actually spending your time. Hire somebody to do that for you. And that's the great thing about high ticket sales too. Have one person enroll, two people enroll, you already can hire somebody to do that for you. One sale, right? How to find them, you can ask around, like with Marie. Oh, fantastic. Mary Kay gave you a great lead for one of your team members, Marie. Know exactly who they are, have a vision of them, and stage one visioning will help you with that. And then if you need some tips with how to interview people, ask me about it on a call. I'm not going to go into that here, but there's tons of ways to make sure you end up with the right person and not the wrong person, and how you can find out who that person is. A lot that I can share with you about that. So just ask me and I can happy to share that with you. What to do if you haven't got that yet? Volunteers, students at your local college, part-time people, family members. My first retreat, my dad photocopied things and put things into envelopes for me. Know that there's multiple ways. People are around you. They want to help you. You don't have to be alone, and you can hire sooner than you think. All right. So I know that's already the end of our call. We've got 3 minutes left. Just a couple of reminders. Story Freedom, again, before tomorrow, make sure you register yourself. storyfreedomlive.com/special VIP so that we know you're coming and we can send you the box in time for you to use it. Also think about who do you know that you want to have attend Story Freedom with you, beside you. Because we are gifting you with that one ticket for that one friend or colleague or acquaintance. Who do you know that could really benefit from being in that room? I know this is going to be our best Story Freedom ever, 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 ever. So think about it and let them know. Let them know. It's a wonderful gift to give people too. It's something that it's a beautiful gift to give. If you know somebody who can up-level their stories, who's next level in business is waiting for them. They're super heart-centered entrepreneur and they could use this work. It's a great deep dive way in 3 days to access this. Remember getting Amy's call on the calendar and Marie's call on the calendar. Thanks, Marie. So great to see you here. And let me see. Oh, role play on the calls. We started doing this with a thank you, Anna Maria. So we started doing role plays for strategy sessions. Heidi had asked about it. We did it with Anna Maria on the Q&A call. We can do that. No, that's one of the things you can ask in the Q&A calls. Michelle, I've got this, strategy session coming up. I've got this talk coming up. I've got different things we can do, but the strategy sessions is where we've gone to. I don't know how to do this part of the conversation. Let's role play it. All right. So that's a great way to use our Q&A calls. So post the question beforehand and we can play with that. We did an amazing job with that on Tuesday. All right. I think that's it for today because we are at like 1 minute two. So one aha, one inspired action. And then if there's any burning questions, I'll stay for a couple extra minutes if you want and you have a couple minutes to spare. And then, of course, there's those other times to ask questions. Implementation call next week. You can ask Marie about it and also lean in with the community. And of course, come to Story Freedom, lots of places for questions there. And I'll stay a few minutes after if you have any questions. All right. So one aha, one inspired action. Who'd like to go first? Yeah, Anna Maria, thank you.
Maya is one yes at a time, one-on-one. And again, know your ideal client.
Yes.
About your ideal client.
Yes. And Anna Marie, you know from listening to Heidi's call, and I super recommend it for those listening afterwards, it's in our resources, probably in Story Freedom Academy. Just say call with Heidi. It's a 2-hour call. And sometimes we hear these words, know our ideal client, but like Heidi discovers, like, I thought I knew that. This is how it happens on the court. Oh my goodness. Like super eye-opening. So yes, one yes at a time. How that applies one-to-one and how powerful that is, even to growing our companies to a huge extent. And that skill doesn't go away. It feeds right into, like, we cannot scale and leverage without that work. It's foundational. Thank you, Anna Marie. Beautiful. And then one inspired action.
My inspired action is I want to review these two last trainings.
Yeah, fantastic thing to do. There's more here if I listened to it, I would hear new things, and I'm your training, right? So it's jam-packed. I wish I had this in 2007, and this could save years off your journey in multiple different ways, seeing where you're headed, how that tweaks your, you know, shifts the dial on your vision, even in stage one, the excitement, enthusiasm for what we're doing in stage two, because knowing where we're headed, so we don't feel so overwhelmed and we know that we can scale and leverage and more excited to jump in. And the sooner we do that, the sooner we can leverage and scale, the easier it gets too, right? So fantastic. Thank you for that, Anna Marie. Beautiful. Carly, one aha, one inspired action.
Well, I think ahas are that I am practicing a lot of these things already, and I just wasn't connecting a lot of it, I guess. So that's good. So that feels really reinforcing, you know, that I am headed in the right direction, and, you know, that just feels good. So, and then an inspired action, I'm going to give some thought to this survey idea. I kind of put my clients into buckets. There's like the high ticket, and there's like the medium ticket and the low ticket. Low ticket are like 10,000 and under, but they often end up taking a ton of time just to figure out what the person wants. So I think I might use this survey strategy to help cut down the time, because I do need some feed of that area. You know, I like to have a diverse group of projects sometimes. So I like that survey idea.
Carly, I love this. And it's such a great idea of any one idea from so much. I know that I was training really quickly here. One idea applied, this could save you hours. This could have you focused so that you're not losing time over here. And it, this could be like, what if one high ticket client for you, Carly, came in because you didn't spend your time over here because the survey did the job? This could mean
that's exactly
thousands for your business, this one idea.
Yes. And that's exactly a piece that I need right now, because those smaller projects are becoming a hindrance sometimes, but they're contractor clients, and that they're giving us a feed of people. So we don't want to say no, you know, but cutting down the time, I think that would be great, because there's so much information that they could give me ahead that I don't need to just painfully pull out of them over, you know, a whole bunch of stuff, you know, send me your current information and all this. I think it's great.
Fantastic. This could say, because of the carving out of time, that then allows you to be working with that high ticket client. Again, that one idea could have generated hundreds of thousands for you. This is fantastic. And also, not to mention the shift in energy, the lack of headaches around answering that question, asking that question again and waiting for them, right? All the headaches are in the front end. All the rewards are in the back end, whether your front end is a free gift or a $10,000 offer for some, depending on what the structure of your company, right? But all the headaches in the front end, all the rewards in the back end, building the high ticket first, and then using the strategic ideas from what we've done over these last couple of calls to gain yourself back to the time to do the work of stage one and stage two, which is where the real energy is, right? To find and work with those high ticket clients that then allows you to scale leverage. So you can see it all works. It all works together. Really fantastic, you guys. Thank you for being here. Thank you for an outstanding call. If you heard even one piece today and started to apply it and hear you doing it so beautifully, has the power to change everything here. So everything for you, for that next level for your company. So thanks for being here. An honor and a delight to be here with you. I will see you in office hours tomorrow. And I have fun with Marie next week. Make sure you register for Story Freedom, and we always can stay in touch. Of course, in the program channel, it's an underused channel in Slack, right? What's going on in the program for you? What questions do you have for everybody? Remember, you have that as another space for asking questions and sharing ideas. The program channel is a great place to do that. So that's another place to play. You could post an aha from this in the program channel. You could post a question. Hey, I'm going to use a survey here. Where else could I use a survey? Hey, I'm thinking about speaking, but I think it's maybe too soon, but maybe I could do it in my living room. What's an idea? Whatever ideas that you want to share and get feedback on in the community, the program channel. So the places for questions, the places for growth continue week by week, whatever we're doing on the campus. So have a great, great week, everybody. Carly, I will see you just shortly because we have a piece that we're doing. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye for now.